Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Hey everybody, welcome to the True Crime Squad. I'm Christy Brower, and I am by myself because Katie is still traveling for softball tournaments. So, welcome to a Wednesday night case updates. Y'all, there is a lot going on in the true crime world just today, and a lot since our update last week. So, thank you for being here with me. I appreciate that. Welcome to all of you who are here live in the chat. So much appreciated. And if you're here after the fact, we appreciate you too. I was thinking about, what do I even say first? I guess I'll say Michelle Traconis, guilty on all counts. You guys, I gotta tell you, I'm surprised. I am. I'm not totally sure that they really proved the conspiracy. But apparently the jury thought they did. So she has been found guilty on all counts relating to the evidence tampering as well as murder, the conspiracy. I think it was a big shock to her, obviously, everybody else. So the defense said that they are definitely going to be appealing. So what they did, oh, thank you. I'm glad you like my shirt. So the judge raised her bail to $6 million with the opportunity, you know, hoping to, I think, keep her in jail during the appeal. But guess what, you guys? She made bail. She's out and will be out through her appeal. That is wild. That does not happen very often. It's very strange to see someone convicted of conspiracy to commit murder who is not going directly to prison. Yeah, was it like $280K that she had to post? But still, I mean, somebody bet on her for $6 million, which, whew, it's a lot of money. But you don't often see somebody out during their appeal. So we shall see what's going to happen here. Her sentencing is going to be, I don't know, somewhere around May 24th-ish. And we'll see what happens after that. I don't know. Then they decided, oh, May 24th would be the fifth anniversary of the disappearance of Jennifer Dulos. And so the defense didn't like that. So I'm not exactly sure when that sentencing is going to be, but it's coming up. Just wild. That was a wild trial. We're talking about Michelle Traconis in the Jennifer Dulos murder. So someone is now going to be held accountable for Jennifer Dulos' murder, which I think is a good thing for Jennifer's family. You know, at least there's something. Right? And yeah, so, right, agreed, Aaron. See, this is the thing. So states and judges are so different. But in the Rust trial, Hannah Gutierrez was found guilty today. and was taken directly into custody for involuntary manslaughter. So you just never know, right? Just depends on the judge you get, the state you're in. Crime is just not worth it because you just never know. So some other trials we were covering last week. Brad Comfer. This is the Norrie Jones murder. This is a murder local to us. This is a murder that happened 20 years ago. And Brad Comfer has been held in jail and hospitals for the last 10 years. He was found guilty on all counts. So that was another one that we were, was a little iffy, but it only took the jury 4 hours of deliberation to find Brad Comfer guilty. So, and he's already served 10 years. It'll be a lot more at this point. So we'll see what happens there. Sentencing will be April 30th. There will be potentially some victim impact statements that day. And, you know, Brad went right back to jail where he's been for 10 years. So it was quite a red letter week last week. Every single trial that we followed last week, the defendant was found guilty on all charges, including Eligio Bishop, Nature Boy. The rape case, if you'll recall, he's the cult leader that was such a jackass to the judge and real difficult. He was found guilty on count one, rape, count two, false imprisonment, count three, four and five, which were the disseminating of revenge porn after the rape. And he was sentenced immediately. The judge sentenced him to life without parole plus 10 years. So he's going away forever. And frankly, I think the whole world is better for that after what we saw of him in court. So those were the cases last week that we were following closely. Oh yes, Wagner does have a hearing tomorrow. We'll see what happens with that. There's so much more happening right now, but let me tell you some of the things that we are following right now. There's some stuff going on in Koberger, the Idaho 4 case. And that is... Is that on record? Yes, that was Nature Boy, that guy. Oh my God. So the Koberger, they are appealing, his defense is appealing again on the grand jury indictment, and they are trying to take it to the Idaho Supreme Court. That's going to be a big deal. And it could... Yet again, slow this down. We're still, you know, things just continue to get slowed down in that trial. They're like, well, we're probably not going to have a trial till 2025. And it's probably going to be even longer than that. So we'll see. It depends entirely on if the Idaho Supreme Court takes up the case. And we don't know if they will. I don't know, man. I think that the court system in general is very hesitant to get involved in a grand jury indictment. They do not want any, right? So the grounds that he can appeal this on, is they felt like that some of the terminology used with the grand jury indictment was incorrect. Now, I think it's pretty much a given that it didn't matter, but they're going to push it more and more and more. Let's see. So that's why they're pushing it. It's all about the languaging. But I agree with you, Amanda, that this is just a defense attorney trying to stall this case. It is. I really will be surprised if the Idaho Supreme Court takes it up. I don't think they will. I don't think that they're going to mess with a grand jury indictment. And it would have to be really egregious for them to get involved, and it isn't. It's literally semantics is what they're arguing about. So that's happening. I feel like I'm going to talk really fast and this show is going to be really short. I don't mean it to be, but it's what's happening. Okay, next. Y'all remember Christopher Tapp. So Christopher Tapp is the man who served 20 years in prison for the rape and murder of Angie Dodge. This is an Idaho Falls, Idaho case, local to me. He served 20 years for Angie's murder. Some judges got involved and, you know, a lot of people who felt like his confession was coerced. It was a big deal. He got out of prison early, just basically on early release. And then, lo and behold, the police released the fact that they had some DNA from that case that did not match Chris Tapp at all. And so then they had to exonerate Chris Tapp. Then they found Drip, the guy who did it, and he's currently serving prison time. So all of that happened. Christopher Tapp sued the city and the Idaho Falls Police Department. He was granted $11 million. And then he tried to just go live his life. Unfortunately, he had some problems in his marriage. And then his wife was killed in a car accident. So tragic. And then, if you'll recall, he died in Las Vegas. And it was originally deemed an accidental death. And about a month ago, the police came out and said, we're going to change that. We think this might have been a murder. And they now have a suspect in Christopher Tapp's murder. The suspect is a man named Daniel Rodimer. He's 45. And there was an arrest warrant issued for him today. So this guy, I'm going to show you a picture of him in a minute. He is a former professional wrestler. He also ran for Congress in Nevada in 2020 and he lost. And then he moved to Texas, apparently. So he was a contestant on, excuse me, the show Tough Enough, which was a competition show. This was in 2004. It's a WWE thing. He also worked on the WWE Deep South wrestling brand. And he is now, we don't know what evidence the police have. This all came out today. I haven't showed the picture yet. I will show the picture in just a second. This all came out just today. So we don't know very much about this guy and what his motive may have been and what the police have on him that make them think that it is this guy that killed Chris Tapp. It's the most tragic situation. I mean, do any of you know somebody like that? That like everything, their life just seems to be tragic, no matter like tragedy after tragedy after tragedy befall them. Chris Tapp is always somebody that I have thought of in that regard. To think that he finally got out of prison after serving 20 years for a crime that he did not commit. only to be murdered. Now, remember that Chris Tapp got $11 million and was living in Las Vegas. And so, you know, I know that a lot of the conjecture at this point is that this was financially motivated somehow, maybe. But we don't really know anything about what's happened, why they think he did it. It's just like, man, sad. Just sad. Just feel bad for him. Oh, my goodness. StreamYard says, I have too many pictures. That's true. We always have so many pictures, as y'all know. So I'm trying to get this picture up. Hang on. I had to delete one to get you one. This is Daniel Rotimer right here. I don't know that the police have actually arrested him yet, but there was an arrest warrant issued for him today. And in the next little bit, we should learn more. Of course, our local news here is all over this because Chris Tapp was from Idaho Falls and, you know, the Angie Dodge murder and everything. It's a big deal. So we'll have more. Just sad. Have you seen that face before, Lindsay? Yeah, he looks familiar. He looks like one of those wrestlers, doesn't he? Kind of bald and beefy. They all kind of look like that, don't they? So, very interesting situation. It just breaks my heart to think that after all that terrible stuff that went down in Chris Tapp's life, that his life actually ends in murder. Another thing, this is in Delphi. Delphi, this is big because I think we're seeing a shift in what's happening with the defense attorneys here. They have filed a motion for early trial. So apparently in Indiana, when you file for early trial, then that trial has to happen within 70 days of now. 70 days. So that's very fast. This is basically the same thing as speedy trial. We saw how that went with Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell, and you know what a big deal that can be as far as how a trial is done. So there are some exceptions that can cause delays, but there aren't very many of them. So it gives Judge Gull less control, which, yay, let's give Judge Gull as little control as possible. But here are some of the exceptions in Indiana law. There can be delays due to congestion of the court calendar or some kind of an emergency that gets in the way. That can be, those days could be subtracted basically from the 70 days. The defendant is released from jail before the expiration of the 70-day period, so charges dropped. Or something that the defendant does delays the trial. But that is very small. That's a very small amount of things that the judge and the prosecution can do to slow that down. So here are some thoughts I have on that. First of all, I think they're recognizing what we've been saying and everybody's been saying, and I'm sure they've been thinking, is that they just need to get the trial over with so that they can appeal. Because when they appeal, it'll be a different judge. And then Judge Gull's bullshit will be right out there for the whole world to see with another judge who can look at this situation and go, holy shit, and deal with it in appeal, which we've thought for a while is probably going to be the only way to really deal with these problems. But here's the other question. Do they really have enough? The prosecution, what do they have? We have yet to see anything that definitively says Richard Allen killed Abby and Libby. They don't really have anything. So if they force this trial to happen really quickly and they throw this in front of a jury, is a jury going to look at this case and go, what have you got? Because they don't have much. So maybe there's an acquittal. Maybe they have to drop it within that 70-day period because they don't have anything. Or he gets convicted and they immediately move into appeals with a new judge. Honestly, any of those things would be in Richard Allen's favor, I think. Christine, don't judges have each other's backs? Not necessarily. No judge is going to want to be complicit in another judge's bad behavior. Right, Joelle? Do they have anything else? What do they even have? I mean, they lied on the application for the arrest warrant. So what are they even going to have on him? We don't really know. I mean, there's so little. And there's not really anything that directly says for sure he killed Abby and Libby. So as far as we know, there's no DNA, fingerprints, stuff like that doesn't really exist. So this is really forcing the prosecution's hand, which I think is really the only thing that they can possibly do at this point is force their hand. And see where it goes. And if he does get convicted, then they immediately move into appeals. So that's pretty interesting. I'm excited to see where this goes. I'm hoping that this is better for Richard Allen, because I'm just not convinced that Richard Allen killed Abby and Libby. I'm not. And I don't understand why the judge is working so hard at destroying this guy's rights. And making this such an appealable case. Yes, I know there is a hearing coming up for Scott Peterson. So we'll be talking about that. The Scott Peterson thing absolutely makes me sick to my stomach. To think that he could get out. It's just terrifying. I don't have any doubt that Scott Peterson is guilty. And I think most people feel that way. But man, some shit went down that shouldn't have gone down. And it's really showing how important it is that all of the rules are followed and that the defendant's rights are protected from the very beginning. Because if they are not, the Scott Peterson kind of stuff can happen. And it's scary. Right? Yeah. Who else had the motive to get rid of his wife and unborn child? It was him. We all know it was him. Let's see. What else did I want to tell you? I feel like it's such a whirlwind, and you guys are right. It is so much different to do this by myself. If you weren't here at the very, very beginning of the show, Katie is off doing softball tournament with her daughter. So that's why I'm here all by myself. I was just amazed at all the trials that we followed last week all came out guilty on all counts. That doesn't happen very long or very often. You know what I mean? Right, JR. I agree with Delphi. Does she believe he's guilty or is she involved? Right. I mean, like, what is really happening here in that case? Not really anything more on the best trial other than that they are seeking the death penalty in that case. Oh, yes. Corey Bigsby trial did start Monday. I haven't had a chance to really follow that yet, but I will, because that's a really important one to us, because we've been covering poor little Cody Bigsby since he went missing. Oh, I know what the other one is. The jury is seated in the James Crumbly trial. They seated the jury today. So his trial is going to kick over to starting tomorrow. I am still amazed that he's going to go through with a trial. Is, you know, after his wife's conviction, like, it's the same reason I'm amazed that Chad Daybell is trying to go forward. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Oh, Amanda, that is how you found us, Cody Bixby. Oh, that's awesome. That case has absolutely broken my heart from the very beginning. I hate that case. It makes me so mad. You know, just like Harmony Montgomery and so many others. But this dad needs to pay for what he did to that little boy. So I will start following that. How long can the Crumblies go to jail? Oh, trying to remember. Let me look it up. I remember talking about it when she was convicted, but I can't remember. Let's see. Let's look it up here. I hope it's forever, but it's probably not forever. Ethan is forever, as we know. Although he is appealing his sentence of life, which I find really interesting after that huge weeks-long hearing they held to see if they could sentence him to life. So she has been found guilty of manslaughter times four. Let's see. I'm trying to remember what the... what the sentence can be. Sorry, guys. Usually one of us is doing this if we have a question that we don't know while the other one's talking. And it's kind of hard to do that. When I'm doing both things at once. But let's look this up. Yeah. She faces 15 years in prison. Which is a lot. It's a whole lot more than anybody else has ever done for their involvement in their child school shooting. So there are two different definitions for involuntary manslaughter. Remember, this is in Michigan. One is like driving your car recklessly and killing somebody. Or creating a risk and then contributing to that, contributing to the actions of someone else. So she will be sentenced on April 9th, and she faces up to 15 years in prison. And James is charged with exactly the same charges, so likely, yeah, I think it is per count, 15 per count, and there are four counts, so it's 60 max. And it will likely be less than that because she has no past criminal history. So that would be the absolute maximum. And I'm not sure we'll really see that. I doubt she gets the full 60, but James faces exactly the same charges and, you know, with exactly the same potential penalties. And they will have to decide, will the sentence be concurrent or consecutive? So concurrent means all four charges, she got 10 years and the sentences are concurrent, then that means she serves 10 years and that counts for all four counts. If it is consecutive, it's 10 years for the first count, 10 years for the second, 10 years for the third, 10 years for the fourth, just like Lori Vallow's trial, where she has three consecutive life sentences. It's an assurance that she'll never get out for Lori Vallow. I bet we see concurrent on Jennifer Crumbly. But we shall see. I don't know. But I'm very curious to see, and I'm very curious to see what James Crumbly's defense is that they think is somehow different than Jennifer's, because Jennifer's defense did not do her any good at all, but we all know that attorney was whack-a-doodle. I don't know if they're going to go a different way, you know. She basically tried to blame him, that he was the one that was supposed to be locking up the gun and putting the trigger lock on and that kind of thing. But the jury came out saying that they felt like because she was the last adult to have possession of that gun, that that's why she was at fault. But right, James bought the gun. But Jennifer was the last adult to have possession of it, and she didn't lock it. So I don't know. I don't know if that will be enough. I kind of doubt it will be. We all know what hideous parents these two are. But yeah, he's going to try to blame her. But I don't know. I don't really think it matters. They were both adults. They were both responsible for that gun. And they were both responsible for that child who was obviously struggling greatly. And they didn't notice or give a flying fuck about how he was doing. So that's going to be very interesting to see where that trial goes. And we have so many going on right now. It's just crazy. Oh, JR says Ghislaine Maxwell is writing a book. Gross. Not a book I want to read. Although I'm curious to see what kind of gaslighting bullshit she comes up with. Right, JR. One is not more responsible than the other in the Crumbly case. I agree. I think those parents had equal responsibility in that situation. They both knew about the gun and where it was kept and that it should have been locked up. And they both should have known that their child was struggling and it did not help him at all. So I suspect that the jury is going to find that same thing. But, you know, I think it would be crazy for him to be exonerated after she was found guilty. But that's one of the things that happens when trials get split or get separated like this. It's going to be interesting. It's just like with Chad Daybell, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the jury does with him versus Lori. Not that I think that he's going to get anything different. Would Ghislaine Maxwell be able to keep the profits from a book? So she's in federal prison. She shouldn't be able to. No, she can't profit from her crime. So I guess it depends on maybe a little bit about what the book's about, but I don't know. I don't think so. Usually that is not allowed. Right, Son of Sam laws usually keep that from being the case. So fingers crossed that she can't. Yes, James Crumbly. James Crumbly is not in good health and is in even poorer health. He was in poor health before this all went down and is in even poorer health in court. Will that play to his benefit? Will there be some sympathy for him? I don't know. God, I hope not. They're the absolute worst. Maybe she's writing an etiquette book, Joelle. I think she's teaching classes in prison, probably. That's hilarious. I hope she is not allowed to profit one dime from anything that she does. She shouldn't be able to. She's just so gross. Might want to read the book, though, just out of curiosity. We'll see. So I think that is everything. Anybody have anything I haven't hit on that is something that we follow? I think that's everything, but I have a new episode coming out for you tomorrow that I am calling a bizarre crime roundup because, oh, Madeline Soto. Yeah, Madeline Soto was found dead. That is very unfortunate. Very, very unfortunate. But tomorrow's episode is called Bizarre Crime Roundup because there have been some weird ass crimes happening in the last few days. Really weird. One of the main ones, all the body parts being found in parks in New Jersey. There have been arrests in that case now, and they think they have at least two victims. Terrifying. I'm going to tell you all about it tomorrow. I've been waiting to talk about that case because they just had barely arrested or Long Island. Yes, you're right, Long Island. They had just barely made arrests, and I wanted to give a little more information on the people that were arrested. They've arrested 4 people in that case. And they found body parts in like 3 or 4 different parks. Just people walking up, finding somebody's arm. I mean, it's awful. There's some other really kind of funny, terrible, bizarre things happening right now. So I'm going to talk to you about all of those in my new episode tomorrow. And then we'll be back next week. And Katie will be back with me. And we'll be back on our usual schedule with the two of us together. And yes, and they all got released on ankle monitors because of bail reform. I saw that. I'm going to talk all about that and explain what the bail reform is and stuff tomorrow, because it is terrifying. Because right now, they haven't been able to charge them with murder. They're charging them with, like, abuse of a corpse kinds of charges. And so, yeah, they're out on bail. It's crazy. Yeah. So weird. Anyway, so I'll talk about that a lot in tomorrow's episode, plus a bunch of other weird things that are going on. And then Katie will be back. So I'm excited. Yeah, they're doing okay. As far as what I've heard is that the team's not doing so well. But that's okay. They're having fun. They're in Tucson, Arizona, where it is beautiful and warm. And we have literally had a foot of snow in about a 3-day period and been absolutely slammed. We've got highways that are still closed because there's so much snow. Power lines down, trees down. I have a tree down in my backyard. Like, it's been a crazy week. And Katie and our other sister, Kara, have both been on vacation. Katie in Arizona and Kara in Florida, and have not had to deal with any of this bullshit. So they're coming home because it's their turn. I'm tired of dealing with it too. Okay. Well, thank you all very much for being here. I know I talked really fast, but it is hard when I don't have someone else to discuss this with. It just goes quicker, as you all know. But I appreciate you all very much being here on the live, being here after the fact, wherever, whenever you're here. You are much appreciated. And you know it. We are the True Crime Squad. Thanks for being here.